So I'm going to first thank you guys for taking the time out of an afternoon. It's what I know will be a busy week for all of you to visit with us. We wanted to talk to you because you are our sisters in Christ who are also serving our community and as teachers or serving the families in different communities as teachers of kids. So let me start with just asking you to tell us what school you work with and what your task is this year, and whether it's different from last year, any at all. Laurel, let me start with you.
I teach 7th grade science at Marshfield. Okay. And usually I just have one prep. I teach 6 hours of the same lesson, whereas this year, in addition to that, I will have a completely online class, which could eventually lead to having blended classes, and there's a lot of unknowns.
Okay.
So.
I bet that goes for everybody with a lot of unknowns. What about you, Juanita?
I am a speech-language pathologist for Springfield Public Schools, and I work with our early childhood special ed department. And so this year, I'm going to be at Delaware working with our early childhood students there. And then I found out on Friday at 10:30 that I'm going to also be working at the Mallory Center, which is our early childhood special ed center. And I'll be working with hopefully some of the students that I worked with last year. I was assigned to that teacher again, because my original role for this year was to be working at Delaware and then traveling 2 days a week. Mm-hmm. I'd be at Delaware 2 days and then travel 2 days. And the travel days would be any facility in Springfield that provides like child care, so it could be a daycare, a Head Start, a preschool, and then also our other buildings, Springfield Public School buildings that have Wonder Years in them.
So you will go to more than one place too?
I would have, but because of COVID, they are trying to limit the number of visitors in and out of facilities and to reduce exposure.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Christina?
I'm still at Fair Grove, second year there, second year first grade, so.
So you're teaching first grade?
Yes.
Second year. Not in first grade. Okay.
Yes, teaching first grade, yep.
Okay. We want to be clear.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay. That's very good. So are you starting this week also?
Or do teachers go back Tuesday. Okay. Yep. Okay. And then kids go back.
Jennifer, you?
I teach third grade at Pleasant View Elementary, which is part of Springfield Public Schools. And this year, I'll be starting out in what they call the hybrid model. So I'll have two sets of kids, one group on Monday, Tuesday, a second set of students on Thursday, Friday. And on Wednesdays, I'll be teaching from home virtually to the entire group while our school is being deep cleaned.
Sounds exciting.
Schedule.
Did the rest of you have schedules that are different like that too? Or
early childhood, we're doing Monday, Tuesday. We'll see our kids 4 days a week. So we'll see them Monday, Tuesday, and then Thursday, Friday, and Wednesday because it's a district policy. District plan is to deep clean.
Okay. So. And Christina, yours is?
They extend our minutes so that kids are with us longer and avoiding big crowds. But really, we're all in class, knock on wood, so far.
Is it 4 days or five?
Yeah, 4 days.
4 days?
We're a 4 day school.
Okay, good. Okay, Laurel?
They kind of have different phases set up, and they haven't told us which phase we're starting in yet. So, like, green, yellow, we're there 5 days a week. All will go just with precautions, and then... Orange, we go to a split schedule like what Springfield has, and then red, we're all completely virtual.
Okay. So. None of those are school colors, are they?
No. Okay. Okay. No. So.
Okay, so let me just ask you guys, as Christian ladies, what is it that you enjoy most about your job, about teaching? What drew you to it, and what do you like about teaching?
I was originally an elementary ed major, and then I switched to speech pathology because I get to work with smaller groups of students in the school. I could have gone the medical route, and I did that for a year before coming to the public school system. But I just love just being a servant to those children. And for me, I work with children with severe speech and language impairments, some with severe disabilities. And so it's just been rewarding to know that making a positive difference, yeah, not only in their lives, but in their family's life as well.
Yeah. So any of the other of you want to answer that question?
Yeah, I can. I like knowing that kids can come to school, and I feel like hopefully I'm a blessing to them. My classroom is a safe space for them, a second home.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times we have them more than their parents. And just that I create a positive atmosphere for them, I hope. That's
which
my goal.
Which would be a blessing too. Yeah, very good.
I think that was a big thing for me too, especially like I teach junior high. And so I realized that a lot of my kids, like me and the other school staff, might be the only positive adult influence that they have at any given time. So it's just being a light.
Like,
that's the simplest way to put it.
Yeah. Jennifer, do you have...
I grew up, both of my parents were educators.
Were they?
I grew up in school, and it was just, I enjoyed the atmosphere, the camaraderie with the other teachers and the students, and I really wanted to help those kids learn that they can succeed and be anything they want.
What age group were you, what kinds of teachers were your folks?
My mom was a PE and health teacher for middle school and high school, and my dad was an industrial arts teacher in high school who later became a principal and an assistant superintendent later on.
Explain to us a little bit about what it was like for you guys to have spring break and then at the end of it for it to either be extended, or in some ways I think all of you had your schedules interrupted and you had to try to teach. What did all of you do online stuff? Okay, so what was that change all of a sudden like for you?
Well, I can say finding out over spring break, then knowing what am I going to do next week when we go back, it was, you had 2 days to kind of prepare, and then the break was extended for a week to allow us to train. That was helpful.
Yeah.
And then our biggest thing was we wanted to make connections with kids because we knew we might go back April 30th. That was kind of our goal at the time, was to be back in school by April 30th and to make those connections at home, to make sure everybody's doing okay, the kids have what they need, families have what they need.
So did you have to call families, or did you, how did you?
Yes, the first thing we did was we made wellness calls. We called each individual family to check on them and make sure that they were doing okay, check on the kids, do they have what they need, and does the family have what they need.
What did you find the most challenging about that all at once, just all new all at once, or just was it hard to make connections with the families?
Most of my families, I knew a lot of them. We had already spent parent-teacher conferences, conversed with them throughout the year, so that wasn't the biggest challenge. I think the biggest challenge for me was, oh, wow, how do I handle this technology all of a sudden? How do I get my kids on here to make those connections after that?
Christina, was yours like that, too? I mean, you were elementary also, so...
So I was actually absent home with Corbin the first 2 days before all this happened, so I felt really disconnected. I didn't get to say bye to any of my students, and so all this, and then it was spring break the next week, so it took a while to, I don't know, contact all the families and, you know, say, not really bye, because we were still doing online stuff, but making sure they, like, check-ins and making sure everybody was well and, you know, anything they needed.
Have most of the families be able to interact with you with the technology, or was that, were some of them in spots where they couldn't do that?
Yeah. We're kind of out.
So the majority of mine couldn't. I mean, we're pretty rural. How many, so the majority of my kids didn't have access to internet.
So in those cases, how did you guys handle this?
We had to send in, like, the week before, so much work, and then our principal came in and he made copies of everything, and then our district, we provided meals every day for those families, and so then when they would come and pick up the meals, they could pick up the work too.
We did the same thing.
And what about with the kind of needs that you work with on
it? It was very, very challenging. I will be honest, and Eric will attest to this, I didn't handle the change very well. I had some breakdowns. There were moments of lots of tears being shed, lots of prayers, but because my students have IEPs, individual education plans, and so we are bound by state and federal guidelines to meet the minutes that are on those IEPs. And so when we completely shut down, kind of like Jennifer had said, it was a whole new ballgame.
Right, right.
And there were so many changes being made all at once. And our administrators and our district leaders were trying to figure out what's the best course that we need to go, what's the best secure sites to use, because we are providing a service that is bound by HIPAA as well.
Right.
So there's a lot of HIPAA regulations
right.
involved. And so just we had to make the parent contacts. We had to ask them if they wanted to have what we call telehealth, which is we provide the therapy via the internet.
Mm-hmm.
We used Zoom, but it was through a very secure program that our district uses
right.
To log all of our data for our students. So we had to ask them if they wanted that, if they were working parents or they didn't have the technology, then they opted to have a packet either mailed mm-hmm. to them or email, and then we just would be in contact with them to see. A lot of my parents they just wanted the packets.
Yeah.
And then if we made those calls, hey, how's it going? Usually it was like, it was okay. I mean,
yeah.
it was, there wasn't, I didn't get true data on my students. And for my early childhood students, it was very hard for them to attend
yeah.
to a little monitor.
Yeah.
when they're used to seeing me face to face. I did have one little guy that I also continued seeing him the month of June through mm-hmm. our extended school year program that we have for those students. And he was getting better mm-hmm. with his attention. But it's just very challenging. And
yeah.
it was really hard to monitor their progress
sure.
and to see some progress.
Sure. Christine, you have from little one to middle school, and you guys have, you have one who was finishing high school and one in finishing middle school.
Yes.
So, and Jonna is in what grade now?
She'll be a senior.
She'll be a senior this
yes.
year?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so how did you, I mean, you have the job, the task as educators, but you also were parents, and all of this happens at once. So how did you deal with that, with the you working from home and the kids doing their schoolwork from home?
It was challenging because everybody needs the internet,
right?
And at our house, we're out in the country, and yes,
yeah.
and it's very
right.
very spotty. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can say for our school district, they made it a priority to let seniors have what they called their Kajits or mobile hotspots. So
see.
We
okay.
took advantage of that in our home because we have decent internet,
yeah.
but when everybody's trying to use it all at once,
right.
it was
right.
so that allowed us to
right.
access things a little easier.
And how about you, Christine? And you were you guys able to do, did you guys have, like as teachers, did you have to be online with your classes at particular times
yeah.
or?
No,
I did.
You did? Okay.
I had to schedule, because
okay.
I had to schedule my therapy sessions
okay.
with parents.
Good.
So.
Okay.
I did. I would have a morning meeting every day that students
okay.
would come to, and then they would do their work independently while I then answered questions later.
Okay.
So the way I handled that with my kids, I got up and did my work. My kids are teenagers. They like to sleep, so I would let them sleep a little longer. Then they would get up and do their
That's
work.
That's called win-win.
Yeah.
win-win, yeah. So and did you guys, I know you're loving people, did you get to see the kids again after that?
Drove to each house.
Bless you. Yeah.
It took about 6 hours. And it was totally worth it because...
How many families was it?
I had 13 respond.
Okay.
So
okay.
I got to say bye to 13 of
All
them,
right.
and I hope I get to see the rest of them when school starts up again.
Yeah.
But it was really neat to go to their homes and see their families and
yeah.
them, and they were so excited. And to kind of have some closure.
Yeah, very good.
So.
Very good. Did the rest of you see them? You saw
yeah,
them when
I
they came
a,
from
well,
home.
Yeah,
you
I
did
saw
summer
them
school
came.
As well.
Well, summer school I did, and yeah. I got to see some of them. And then, like I said, our district provided the meals. And so
school staff were the ones who could sign up to, we would package all three courses of the meal, and then the parents would drive up and pick them up. So then we get to see some of the kids that way. I wanted to visit all of them, but it would take me forever to visit 120 kids.
Yes.
When you guys got any concerns from parents, if you did, what kinds of concerns did the parents typically have with this situation? Or were they just trying to make it through like everybody else? And they just...
I think it has like fluctuated because it all just kind of happened out of nowhere, I feel like. And so at first it was concerns about academics, and then it was concerns about the future. And right. So I think it's changed throughout the course. So, I mean, now I think it's, what are we doing to make sure everyone's safe? And
right.
So I think their worries have kind of changed right. over the course of time.
Right.
My parents were particularly, especially my early childhood parents, because I also worked with school-age students as well this past year. I was mm-hmm. at Disney. And so those kids were, they're older, and their needs, the students that I worked with at Disney, their needs weren't as significant as the needs for my early childhood population. Mm-hmm. And my early childhood parents were very concerned about regression right. With their skills, because a lot right. of them had started seeing them make really good gains.
Right.
And then,
right.
the pandemic hit. And so, and like I said, we did the best we could.
Yeah.
Showed a lot of grace and mercy on yeah. both to the parents, and they did it to
right.
me as well.
Right.
Showed it to me as well. So that was their main concern,
yeah. Yeah.
was the regression.
Yeah. Did you guys have a problem with getting on the phone with parents and
yes.
them just wanting to talk?
They
were tired of me.
Yes, it was. And I think that was one of the blessings from
yeah.
this whole storm, if you want to call it, is that I was able to make more parent connections
right.
than what I would have typically, just because the format.
Did any parents say, how do you do this every
yes.
day?
Yeah, I have some funny memes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so in looking forward to this school year, I know that you guys are still going to learn part of it maybe next week, but you've already told us a few things schedule-wise and that sort of thing. So I was wondering, like with the new protocols for spacing and cleaning and all that kind of stuff, it always gets my attention how many different jobs teachers have to do. So how involved are you guys going to need to be in like keeping the desk sanitized or keeping the kids walking in a certain line or a certain difference of
So I went to school yesterday to kind of work in my classroom. Things are very different. In the hallway, they've put arrows where to show kids how to walk on the right side, so we're not walking in three or four across. And
you mean they don't already walk?
Well, try to do that. But so the direction of the flow in there,
right.
the hallway, I know that they won't have access to water fountains to drink out of.
Not
they
at all.
Be, no, they'll have a water filling station,
okay.
so they'll bring a water bottle to fill
okay.
them. So they'll have those.
Yeah.
It's a different, and I know our kids will have, be spaced out at their desks, and we won't be moving around in the classroom like
right.
we normally do, which will be a huge adjustment for me because we do a lot of group work, centers, different things. So that's going to change.
So how are y'all going to do, like the, you mentioned in your case, you have the Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday
yes.
deals. Mm-hmm. Do they use the same desk and stuff, or are they do? How do you?
Well, the Wednesday that we're closed and I'm working from home, there's going to be a
mm-hmm.
crew that will come in and deep clean everything. So everything should be sanitized if I were to have to seat a student at the same
yeah.
spot.
Yeah.
Try that.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
hopefully we've got that figured out where that won't occur.
Yeah.
And one of the nice things that Springfield Public Schools is doing is they are providing all school supplies for students pre-K, so that's the preschoolers, the kids that I work with, all the way up to fifth grade.
Yeah.
So they will have their own like supply kit that they
yeah.
take back and forth with them.
Yeah, we got to help with one of those
mm-hmm.
here, so that's
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
yeah.
It's going to be a lot different. They are social distance as best as you can with first graders. Alphabetical order everywhere they go. The specials teachers will come to our rooms. If they go to the bathroom, they sign out. No group work, no small reading groups or anything like that. So
that's kind of the opposite of what you guys have.
Everything we've learned for the
right.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, in church work, that's happening for us too.
I helped Laurel set up her classroom, and she found a book that she had from college. Because I mean, you know, she's only been doing this for a couple of years now, and she opened up the book and she goes, "There's no mention in this book about how to teach during a pandemic." Yes. I was like, "Honey, 20 years ago, this wasn't yet. Technology was."
Everybody's learning. You guys are writing a book.
We are.
Do you guys know how many students you're having yet?
Well, they keep fluctuating because parents are at the last minute deciding to homeschool, and we're doing a program called Launch. So
I forgot to ask. Yeah. I meant to ask about that. So it's an they choose if they're going to be.
So in Fairgrove, they can either choose to homeschool totally on their own.
But would you all have to provide the lessons and stuff for that?
So we're doing a program called Launch, which I believe is the same thing Springfield is using, but ours, they had to choose whether they wanted to do that completely or be in the classroom completely, right. So we're not splitting it like they are, which, I'm sorry, is kind of a relief for you guys. So they had to choose, I mean, right from the start.
Yeah.
But I think parents are changing their minds still at the last minute based on, you know, the news and all that.
Yes.
We're using Launch also. Yeah. But, I mean, they're in it or they're not, then they have the option to come back at Christmas. And then,
we're teaching.
Do you have to teach a Launch class?
No.
So I have to teach a Launch science class on top of my regular classes.
Wow.
And I don't even know what it looks like. I won't know till 3 days before the start of school. So
the word of the year, I think, is flexibility.
Yes. Yeah.
Definitely learning how to be flexible.
Just roll with it.
Yeah, that's that.
Yeah, I've talked to some of our people who are maybe administrators, that kind of thing, and they tell me that every school has to have like two or three or four plans.
Yes,
and you mentioned with the color levels.
We have four phases.
You have that too here. So we talked for a minute about at least one of the or two of the good things that you've seen come from this as people of faith. So what can you think of any particular other thing that you've identified in it that, well, maybe some good will come from this, or maybe this
for me, it has strengthened my faith. I mean, you know, working from home, I kind of like it. Once I got into my routine and got settled
several of our people have said finding a routine has been big.
Yes, finding that routine and just, you know, being able to just kind of share my faith with other people who are feeling a little anxious. I shouldn't say a lot anxious about what's it going to look like. And I saw this great quote, and I love it. It says, oh my goodness, that's going to totally leave me because I'm under pressure here. But it's about fear, you know, and it's like you can't live. The fear is what if. The faith is even if. I'm just going with that and just never doubt it'll work out.
Yeah, it's hard to remember that. I bet every year when you get with your guys' students, there's been some family in that group that has been going through what all families seem to be going through right now. It's just the uncertainty of it. So I'm sure you've always had to kind of watch out for that and help shepherd kids or families maybe even through that. In this case, it's different because we all are. And the one thing that I hear people say, whether they're parents or teachers, is it's just that nobody knows what's going to happen, you know. So we appreciate your bringing your faith to bear in that situation and trying to help kids have the chance to learn and grow. They don't get to be this age again, so they're going through.
And I think our biggest thing that we as educators, and we need to just be a calm for the kids, and, you know, let them know that school is that safe place.
Yeah.
Wearing the masks, you know, that's kind of scary for some of them. They, especially some of my students, especially with the ones with autism, they have sensory issues, and it's going to look different. And yeah. That's why I have my clear mask. Yeah. And because, like, you know.
So they can see.
They can see. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think one of the most important things I'm taking away from all this, and something I'm really going to work on this school year, is focusing on your mindset. If you can be positive, yeah. If I can be a positive example for the kids, no, I don't like the mask. No, I don't like any of this. But yeah. My reaction to it, I choose how I react to it. Right. So I'm hoping to be a good example for my kids at home and my students, because really your attitude can make or break you.
And one of you mentioned a while ago that there's some of this that this may be the only spot in their lives where, in a lot of our lives, where the bright spots are hard to find. So if you can do that, you'll be serving in a great way, I think. With where your kids are in school right now, you got a college and high school and so on. And what are the like Alyssa is in what grade this year?
Going into high school.
Going into high school. So another one going into high school, and you got a senior. Mm-hmm. All right. So are your concerns for your kids where they are any different from the concerns that you've had brought to you from parents of students in your class? That may be a hard question to think about, but
to be honest, mine aren't. Okay. And I know Jonna has. I hear Miss Jonna has, you know, a health concern for type 1 diabetes, but as long as we keep that in good control, she's okay. Mm-hmm. And so I just have looked at it as I can't control what happens. I mean, I can try to my best ability, you know, monitor her diabetes and try to keep that under control, but there are things beyond my control that can still happen. And so I just have to kind of let go of some of that. So I'm just, you know, I've just learned through her, you know, with her, that I can't get all worked up about the what ifs.
Right.
You know, what if this
take
were happening? What if this? And I want her. I know, you know, Cameron, his senior year, kind of got robbed. You know, those seniors this year, they didn't get to have the traditional end of senior year. And she is so excited to go back to school and to see her friends and to be involved in what she can be involved in and just try to have some normalcy.
Yeah.
So
I think it's made it easier to relate to parents, because I think we all have the same fears and concerns.
Agree.
So I don't think they're very different at all.
Mm-hmm. I would say the fear of online learning, virtual learning, for one of my kiddos, Cameron, he did really well with that. Was able to do probably better than he would have in the classroom. Now, Shelby, she did not enjoy that at all. She likes that interaction with the teacher and wants that affirmation, I'm doing things correctly, or that kind of thing. And so when she found out we were going to be on a hybrid model, she was very upset. Yeah. So as a parent, I had to squash my concerns and fears to make sure that she's going to be okay and we're going to make this work. But like you said, the mindset really is going to make a big difference.
Right. So the summer, the spring and summer with school was also the spring and summer at church in a lot of ways. We've had to make our way through things all together as best we can. All of you guys have been involved in serving among the Lord's people too in various ways. This spring and summer with your families, what has been something good that's happened in your spiritual life or your faith life with them? Did all of you guys get to, your kids or your families in some way, get to participate in one of the things that we tried to do, some of our families, Justin tried to help do?
I think that it brought them closer together. Mm-hmm. I really do. I mean, Alyssa was baptized this summer. I feel like she really grew in her faith through all of this.
And congratulations to your family, too. That was a happy thing.
That's obviously a great thing that's come of all of it. I think the relationships have grown stronger, and
Yeah, the night Shelby was able to go to Camp Watermill, she didn't have activities.
This
she
summer,
loved that this summer. It was great.
Summer.
It was good
Shelby,
for me to
Shelby was baptized too this summer.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. So she got to come to some of that along with all the other stuff that was going on this summer too. So and Christina, your family, Juanita, your family hosted the Camp Water Mill activities too. So thank you for doing that. Was it an adventure to have people all?
It was so much fun. Even Eric was like, "Oh, this is fun." He slept in his own bed that night, but it was good. It was a fun time.
Laura, you and Jonathan helped with some of that too. Plus, you helped with LTC, and that got a lot of people were involved in that, but that got changed like at the last
literally a little under a month before convention.
Yeah, not really a bunch of time for events to get done and filmed and all that. Thank you for doing that. Have there been any passages of scripture or Bible stories or lessons that have been, you don't have to have an answer to this one, but if there are one or more than one that's become more your favorite or more meaningful to you?
Don't laugh at me because I don't know.
I'm not.
I know the verse, but I don't know the verse.
The scripture.
When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. I don't know if that's perfectly clear.
It is. And it's Isaiah 43. It's a wonderful passage. And we have been going through some of those.
Yeah.
And I think the Lord has been with us. It was mentioned in our service this Sunday. In one of the, maybe at the Lord's Supper by Patrick, that we haven't had anybody so far, fortunately, be real sick with this that we know of, and we've made it. The Lord's been with us in that way, so I appreciate that passage. Any of the rest
of you? I
think
of like the Israelites, you know, just like wandering for 40 years, because, you know, we want this to end. I want it to end today, tomorrow.
Yeah.
I mean, ASAP, let's get this over with. I'm so over it.
Yeah, everybody.
Yes, but I just think of them just, you know, continually just wandering and
puts it in perspective.
It definitely does. I mean, at least we still have air conditioning.
Yes.
We still have
Netflix.
I mean, you know, we have things to occupy our time and not just out there.
Yes, they couldn't call Walmart and go
pick up the groceries. No.
So patience has been definitely something that has the part of patience, which means steadfastness, is the need for that is definitely.
I do have to say, there was like a time like during, and it was one of like the Watermill like youth groups. I don't know which one it was on Facebook. They were putting scriptures on, and so like there would be like a scripture a week or a day. Anyway, anytime there was a new scripture, I would put it on a post-it note, and I would put that scripture on my device that I was working from, and so it was like right there.
Good.
As just that constant reminder.
Anna was texting those out.
Okay.
Anna, those were great because
I was like, oh, this is good. And so I would, that would be just to, again, help with my mindset
to keep
it perspective.
Any of others that you guys, your favorites that stand out?
I don't know. A motto at our house is there's nothing new under the sun.
Yeah, that's true.
He uses that one all the time. Yeah. And so.
Well, this year has kind of made me re-examine that theory. Right? 2020 has been different, yeah.
I don't know if there's necessarily a passage, but for me, it's just, there's more to this life than what's here.
Yes.
That's really hit home this year. But there really is probably.
Yeah. I think the unpredictability of things has been obvious. But it's made the things that really do matter also, I think, more on people's minds, a lot of people's minds anyway. So when you are thinking about now actually meeting the kids and getting started this year, are there any things that kind of do make you concerned or anxious about it? And these are not expressions of, I mean, faith brings in its mind also the very realistic things about life too. So I think it'd be interesting if our people knew what you have to think about.
I think being faced with the fact that if someone in your classroom tests positive, you may have to quarantine yourself or your family, and how's that going to impact say, Shelby, if she's playing sports, is she going to? That's all unknown right now. We don't know what will happen if that were to occur.
So
that could happen maybe more than once. Mm-hmm. You have to do that.
Do all of your schools have in place the what if that she's talking about? If a class member,
I'm thinking we'll find out.
Okay.
Speak about all that in our meetings.
Yeah, and so you also have to think about Cameron and what if that happens there too,
yes,
right?
You have to move him home for a period of time.
And that's a very real. So if that happens, then a lot of lives get in touch right there. So, what about the others of you?
It definitely has a domino effect, like they were saying, just because, I mean, my parents have had some health concerns and I'm, you know, having to help with some of that.
Yes.
And then again, you know, with John, even Jared. I mean, Eric, right, when all this started, Eric was sent home because there was a possible exposure at his work. Again, it was all still new and we're still learning about it. And so it does just kind of turn things upside down for a bit. But I just... Again, just going to go with it. That's kind of, that's my mindset. That's what I'm trying to get, you know, with my mindset. And I don't want to make light of it because I know it can be very serious and have some serious repercussions. But again, I'm not living in fear and I'm not going to let it control me.
Yeah, I noticed. So, what I notice with a lot of our people is, all right, so it's here. We're going to have to go ahead and live our lives.
And I feel like, you know, Springfield, and I'm sure, you know, Marshfield and Fargoville as well, you know, those administrators are taking every necessary precaution. We're getting special, you know, cleaners and sanitizers and then coming in and doing the deep cleans. So I think, you know, I think we're going to be okay.
Yeah.
Now, again, you might have that little burst where you hear Delaware might have to have, you know, closed down like we did for summer school.
Right.
I was in Truman this summer.
Yeah.
There was an exposure in one area in the building, but because we had pretty well, we had breakfast and lunch in our own classrooms and we went to recess at a separate time, my class was able to stay. It was only one class impacted from the whole school.
So it does kind of encourage you that there has been a chance to work on this some and you find out what works, and some things do. So that's good. Yeah.
So to be totally honest with you, I am so much more concerned about what have these kids come from? What have they been living through the past 5 months?
Mm-hmm.
What have they seen at home? The being sick part isn't what scares me. It's all the other things that maybe they haven't had food. Maybe their parents are going through depression. Maybe.
So I'm glad.
How does it impact those kids that haven't had that socialization that they normally do with activities or?
I'm glad you mentioned that. There's more than one aspect to human beings, and the needs in the young ones' lives may vary a lot based on where their families are and what they're going through.
And I don't mean to be disrespectful and downplay the sick. I just mean there's so much more to it.
Yeah.
And especially the little ones, the younger, even middle schoolers. I mean, they might need a hug.
Yeah.
I know, what are we going to do?
You know, and it's like, and I mean, I'll probably hug them.
And what if they hug you? Can you just, like, you can't hug them back?
I'm gonna worry. They need that. And I mean, when I would see them, sometimes, you know, the best way to keep them engaged was they're on my lap and we're doing our thing, you know. I did get peed on, you know. I do have scrubs this year, so literally, So, you know, for that, you know, just kiss me to have that. But, you know, but it's like they're developing and they need to have that social interaction with us.
Yeah.
I know my older kids, they're so worried that band and football are going to be canceled because they look forward to that. And, you know.
Those are important parts of growing up experience and learning and all that. So I think that's a worthy concern for the parts that where they get to learn about being a part of a team and competing and using their other talents.
Well, especially it brings everybody together.
I mean, Fair Grove football game.
Come on. That's where it's at. That's where it's at. I'm telling you. Well, they were at one last year.
So think about your brothers and sisters in the Lord here, son. Can you think of anything that anybody has done that's been like encouraging to you over the spring or the summer?
I will say having Kelly Kenyon call about once a week during the spring was probably the highlight of my week. It was really nice.
So you got to talk to somebody that wasn't just my job. Very good.
I just think seeing everybody come together to put the events that happened this summer and
spring,
you know, that was
so encouraging. Y'all did a great job at that, and Justin and I have talked a little bit about it. In some ways the stuff you guys did was better than the scheduled events other places maybe that we would have done otherwise. We wish we could have done all of them or both. Thank you all for doing that. Can you think of any other things
that... I don't know. I've just had, like, especially recently, like, the closer we get to the school year, I've had lots of people just, hey, how's it going, how are you feeling about things? You know, it's just nice to know that people are thinking about...
They're thinking about what this would be like.
And people just saying they're praying for us.
I've had people ask me if I need anything from my classroom. Like people are like, what do you need? I'm like, I don't know. Talk to me in about a month and I can tell you.
I have a wish list. I had a parent from 6 years ago send me something off my list. I was like,
My first year, I made a wish list, and bless their hearts, David and Debbie Rattery bought like 90% of the stuff for my classroom, and I still have all the posters, and so it was kind of bittersweet when we were hanging up the posters. I thought I got a little piece of Debbie in my classroom.
I'll say for my kiddos this spring, some of the girls, they sent a message, like a letter, and then you send it on. For Shelby, being relatively new to Watermill, that really helped her a lot. It was very encouraging to her. And Maddie Maples even brought her something one day, a little flower, visited her. So sweet.
Yeah, they're a great bunch of kids, sure. Very much. They mean a lot to us. Well, thank you guys for the time. And you know from Sunday morning that we're all praying for you and your work. We thank the Lord for what you're trying to do, and we pray for your families as well. And thank you for your service and family of the Lord as well. Thank you very much.